listening to the Digital Strips Podcast, the first and best webcomics podcast on the planet, and the only unnatural on the death market, not afraid to catch the attention of the cameras. Hey, Cubby!
Hey, Cubby!
I am your host, and I am now just wishing I didn't have a conscience so I could be back home where my mom is keeping a boy in our basement for the purposes of selling off his body for parts. I am Jason, the Midnight Cartooner Sigler. With me as always, he is telling stories about a magic dolphin man who seduces women to murder them, all the while knowing that his only power is changing colors based on his current diet. He is Steve the Geek Shinny.
I also have the power to change from a dolphin to a person, which is pretty cool.
See, I thought her power was just the color thing, and she was telling a story about a dolphin man.
I guess that's true. She's the daughter of a dolphin man.
Yeah. It's just like, you have not actually heard the Monster Mash. You've heard a song about the Monster Mash.
But that song about the Monster Mash is also called the Monster Mash, so it's the Monster Mash.
I don't know. It's very confusing, but... I would not say that this comic we're looking at is confusing. I would say it's incredibly dark, as my intro hopefully got across, and there's actually darker moments to be talked about. So we'll just jump right into it. It's perfect for, we are recording this as of the day before Halloween. And unfortunately, it's episode 665. We just missed it. So it's not that evil. It's just really dark. So this is our review of Not Even Bones. And this comic is brought to us by, it's quite a team. We have the writer is Stephen Lamb. The artist is Ali Scenario. And the editor is David S. Lee. And this is all based on a novel, I believe, or maybe a series of novels, I'm not sure, by Rebecca Schaefer. And Steve picked out Not Even Bones for us. So I will let you get into the hairy scary of it.
Like you said, it's not really scary so much as just dark and foreboding, and just it takes you places that I feel it's best to go only if you know that's where you're going. Like this is an emotionally charged comic, and it makes you think a lot about various horrible moral situations. It follows the story of Nita. Nita is a young girl. Young woman. It's hard to say exactly how old she is. We assume she's somewhere in her late teens, so we'll say she's 17 for the sake of argument. And she is living with her mother, and her mother expects her to pull her weight around the family, and in this particular case, it means dissecting the monsters that she kills. The thing is here, these aren't monsters like in The Witcher or, I don't know, Pokemon, where they look like monsters, but rather they look very humanoid. They're definitely just people, but they have something unnatural about them. And we actually don't even get into like how they're different under the skin, but Nita she doesn't like that her mother makes her dissect unnatural people, but she really likes dissecting unnatural people. Like, this is her jam. It's a creepy jam. It's a morally ambiguous jam. But it is so her jam. She cuts them up, packages them, and then her mother sells them for a lot of money. And it's not really explained right away what the market is for these unnatural body parts, but it does go into it later. Some are used for painkillers. Some are used just as straight-up drugs. And apparently there is a market for people to eat unnatural body parts with the assumption that they will gain the powers from that. Which is kind of a plot hole, because if that were the case, you could just take one unnatural, kill them, feed it to a bunch of normal people, wait till they become unnatural, kill them, and then you have an endless supply of this stuff. And so it's not valuable anymore. Checkmate! Rebecca! That's real easy to retcon, just say that part doesn't transfer through the consumption process. But as the story goes on, if that wasn't dark enough, Nita's mother brings home a young boy who isn't dead and just expects Nita to dissect him piece by piece so that they can sell him off super fresh. Nita says, you know what? Maybe I'm done being a horrible person. Frees the young man. Mother gets pissed. You know, they have a very relatable mother-teenage-daughter fight. Teenage daughter storms off to eat donuts and call her dad. And then they run away and Nita gets captured and is held in prison. And that's where the comic really kind of starts getting dark, as if it wasn't dark enough already. She makes friends with her fellow prisoner and like this guard who's also kind of a prisoner in his own right. And yeah, right now, I'll admit I made it to page 40. This is on Webtoons and they are so long. Each page is so long. At this point she's trying, they just got away from, or they just, sorry, killed the person running this little makeshift cell people prison. On the whole, this comic makes you think about horrible situations. It really makes you empathize with the characters. They feel, well, at least I felt for them on every turn. And if you're willing to kind of deal with the darker subject matter and the darker setup, I found it an enjoyable read. Lots of compelling action.
I think what makes it feel even darker to me is that even Nita, who is our protagonist and the most heroic person, the most altruistic person in the comic, still, like you said, she likes dissecting people. She uses that as a calming mechanism later on in the comic. You know, when I need to center myself, oh, I need to calm down. I need to breathe. Oh, that's right. Think about cutting up those dead bodies. Oh yeah, that does it. And that's my chi. She even herself is not all that great. And I don't know if it's like supposed to be that way. I'm especially speaking to the moment when her friend, for all intents and purposes, Mireia, I'm not sure. There's some Spanish in this comic that I, you know, am rusty, but I know, but yeah, I know a double L is not la, and I'll leave it at that. She escapes with her. Like, they finally escape from the death market, and basically almost immediately they're, you know, trying to find a boat to go somewhere. They want to go to Brazil. They're like, oh, if we can get away, you know, we can get away long enough to call and have them pick us up or have this place shut down or whatever. We can do this. And the girl is shot, like standing on a dock and falls in the water. And I assume that's going to be, okay, I need to find a way to get in the water and check on her and make sure she's okay. She'll find her. She's bleeding out and they have to blah, 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 fix this thing. Nope. Just, okay. That sucked for her. I'm moving on. I was like, that is cold. Like that is shows me that she is not capable of handling, not having like empathy. Like, I don't think she has the fact that she's been, you know, doing the dissecting most of her life and really loves it and all that. She's kind of turned herself off to, you know, feeling things for humans. It feels like, and her mom has bred that in her because that's her mom as well. And so she just doesn't have the empathy for humans like that she should. And yeah, when her friend gets shot, I expected, you know, at least like panic in her eyes, like, oh my God, she was just shot. I'm next. Instead, it was just like, well, now I need to figure out the next part of my plan. There literally no follow-up, and it may be coming later on. Like, I read 40 pages as well, so I don't know, maybe she comes back and, you know, she gets her comeuppance because she never did check on her friend. But just the way she just completely shuts that off and is like, okay, now I need to figure out what I'm doing next, because I'm gonna be next if I'm not careful. It's just, I think she comes up once or twice. She comes up when she goes back into the death market and tells Kovit, the jailer, whatever, the Zanny jailer, we'll get to Zannies in just a moment, that Maria is dead. And he's just like, oh.
Well, that guy's supposed to be a psychopath. Zannies are psychopaths.
Yes. Yeah, so Zannies, they feed off of the pain of others. And so he is constantly told by Reyes, who is the woman kind of running the death market. It seems like there's other people probably higher than her, because there always are in these scenarios. But she is the one that tells him basically constantly to Yeah, she gives him his marching orders. And for Nita's, in Nita's case, that means go in there and slice off a piece of her skin. And now we're going to watch her. These people are here to watch her heal so they can see, you know, just what they're getting if they buy her. And she, because she has this healing power that she can use, and she can also turn it off if she wants, so she doesn't heal, and that, you know, sucks for her and also the people trying to buy her. But yeah,
yes, those Kovia poor people trying to buy a person.
I did not say those poor people. I just said those people. Because there are many people that come through the market looking to buy unnaturals. So yeah, Kovit really gets off on that. You can see the crazed look in his face. He's just like, yeah, he's feeding off that pain. That's what I live for. And there's one time when he goes and does that, and then she shuts off the healing power, and he's just like, she's doing it again. This sucks for me. No, what, I sliced her arm, part of her arm off, and I get nothing.
So what she's turning off isn't her healing factor in those cases. It's her ability to feel pain. That's what pisses him
that's
off.
That's true.
And maybe that's why she didn't feel any pain when Morelia got shot, because she had that turned off, and that includes emotional pain.
I don't think that's true, though. If that's true, then that's a huge leap, because emotional pain is not the same as physical pain.
Yeah, but they talked about
you can
about
have
that.
Physical pain.
When she was playing poker with, how'd you say his name?
Kovit.
Kovit? Yeah.
Yeah. I do acknowledge that they said that, but I don't necessarily buy that. Like, that seems like one of those leaps in the fiction that I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to jump with you there.
Okay.
I don't care if you want me to or not, but it comes across, it is very much a YA novel, and you get these struggles between the parents and the children and the kids doing it for themselves. I think that's one of my YA tropes that I can't stand, is the kid, the teenager, whatever, young adult, coming into the situation and observing things for like 5 minutes and being like, boom, got this figured out. I know what to do. And it's like, no, you don't. These are adults, and I'm sorry, but many of them are probably smarter than you, and they know what they're doing.
Yes.
And so she's like, you know, I figured out the death market. I know how we can get out of here. Once we get out, we can call the police or FBI or whatever and shut this place down. Let's do it. And then her friend gets shot, and she's like, all right, new plan. I'm going back inside. I'm going to talk to the jailer, who might be a psychopath, and we're going to figure it out together after we play more poker.
Yes, yeah, see, that's why YA novels work for a YA audience, but not for an adult audience. Because kids read that and they're like, yes, this is right. The kids do see a situation and understand it immediately. And they don't. And that's what tips off the adults. But it's, you have to kind of shift that part in your brain. And it'll get easier as you have a YA yourself. So
I don't want a YA. Keep the YA out of my world. It's gonna come up with another acronym, but no, I was gonna say ASS. That sounds weird, and also it just spells yas. That's a whole other thing.
All right, I'm done with points. I have nothing more critical to say.
That's wonderful. I agree with what you're saying. That is a YA thing, and that's, you know, for that audience to champion and be, oh, that's, yes, this is the person we, you know, sympathize with and we agree with and that we empathize with. And so, yeah, this is, when that happens to them, it happens to me, and I get that. It just, yeah, not being in that world and not having anybody in that world yet, soon enough, I just disagree from that point. So maybe that is just I'm not supposed to like this, and that's okay. But I will say that one thing I'm not a huge fan of, and is not something I don't think you can necessarily argue, is the art is not great. It gets the job done. You know what you're looking at. You know what the point is made. It gets across the point it needs to make, but lots of forms and the basics are not there. So that was one of my biggest turnoffs from this comic, is just the art is often not solid.
It is ironic in a comic so dedicated to anatomy that the anatomy is not a stronger part of the comic. To me,
that's a very good way to put it. That's very true.
It does feel like it's it's everything is very static. Even in the action scenes, Kavit's action pose doesn't feel like there's any emotion to it. That being said, I really do kind of like a lot of the transitions in the earlier parts of the comic. When the comic first starts, being on the Webtoons format, there's going to be the Uber scroll that we've lamented really many times. You can tell this was built for Webtoons and that there's some really cool transitions that are done there. Some of the background work and the transitions that are worked through there are fantastic. Unfortunately, those go away as the comic moves on. I don't know if that was a time constraint or what happened there, but you get a lot more just plain blackness between panels, which does not help make this comic feel less dark. Now, that also might have been an intentional choice because that happened while they were in the prison, so there's not a lot of cool outside stuff that you can transition with. That was usually done when Nita was walking through her city in Peru, and there's like a cool sky going to a cool ocean and some tree. It's like there's more outdoorsy things to transition with, and you don't have that luxury when your scene is literally a cell. So it could just be lack of things to transition with. Not sure.
Yeah, I took it as just I didn't really notice the earlier transitions being that well done, but I'll take your word for it. I haven't gone back to the early pages on it yet, but yeah, definitely later it's just blobs of black. And I actually showed my wife. I was like, see, this is why I get like exhausted reading comics on this platform. I'm scrolling like, why do you have to scroll so much? I'm like, it's supposed to, you know, make it easier to read on like a mobile device or whatever. She's like, I would never read that on my phone. Just like, okay, understandable, fair. It's also, you know, just an element of how we read comics for this. We read them all at once, you know, a lot at once. And that's not typically how you're supposed to read a comic like this. You know, you're supposed to have caught up and you read it once every update. And so you don't get as exhausted of scroll, 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 click, scroll, scroll, scroll. And so, you know, that's not as Webtoons is meant to be read, I understand, but It is still exhausting, and this one is especially long. I feel like it's one of the longer page ones we've read.
Yeah, you say that it's not the intention. I think Webtoons also encourages binge reading. I think binge reading is more common than we might give it credit to, just because you can't keep up with all these comics. It's just not feasible. I will say that I did discover something new as far as like how to interact with Webtoons, is where I just would hit the down button, because I read most of my stuff on the desktop. And I pushed the down button as I was scrolling through, and it actually scrolled at a really good pace. Because I will do the finger scroll, going as fast as I can, just trying to scan dialogue. And that kind of threw me off here, because there was so little of it in between stuff that I would often scroll past it and have to go back up. But if I just held the down button, it was the right pace to read everything and really feel the emotion. It was too slow to binge read, but if I was like, okay, I'm just going to immerse myself in this comic and just kind of go along for the ride, it was the perfect pace for that. So I think that's intentional, and I thought it was pretty cool.
There you go. Tips for reading on Webtoons. So, final thoughts on Not Even Bones, which I will point out is the title of the comic, and it's also mentioned at one point in the comic.
It's like
so I had to call it out in my notes and say, hey, it's the name of the comic.
It's like that time we all sat around and remembered the Titans.
Yes. Lord knows all those times we remembered those Titans.
I can't say that I loved this comic, but it hooked me. It was darker than what I normally like, and the pacing issues are definitely there. But that aside, it did a great job of making the characters empathizable. I felt really bad for Nita. She was in an impossible situation, and I feel like she brought me along with her. I felt the emotional bits, and I did have to stop reading last night because I was tired, not because I was tired of reading it. I'm like, no, it's midnight. I got to get up real early and podcast. So that, I think, says a lot that the comic is very, it's an emotionally charged experience. And if that's what you're looking for, give it a shot.
There you go. I would say it's for more meant for a certain audience. So if it's not your bag and you find it's not clicking with you, the characters aren't your thing, then you know maybe this just is not a comic for you. But it definitely has an audience. I mean, it's on Webtoon, so it's going to get that audience. I feel like they come to it in droves here. So yeah, I'm sure it's doing just fine. And if you've read the novel or not, check it out. You might have a YA fantasy just for you.
If you're a YA, get your ASS over here and enjoy it. I'm sorry.
How about this? I'll shorten it for you. If you're YA, why not?
Ah, I like it. I like it. Well done, sir.
Put that on the back of the box or comic or book or whatever they put it on these days.
Put that on the whole department at the bookstore. YA will read anything.
Too true. That's going to do it for this episode of Digital Strips. We thank you very much for your support. If you like this show, I have great news. We have another podcast. It's a show where we run down each other's lives and our own, and we keep doing that until we get to the point where one of us has ruined it for the other person. That podcast is called Then You Ruined It. You can find that on any podcast platform you use, just about. If you find it on Apple Podcasts, along with Digital Strips, we really appreciate 5-star reviews. Those help us out with discoverability and everything else around these parts. If you have comments about anything we talked about in this episode or suggestions for future episodes, you can find us on Twitter. The show is at Digital Strips. I personally am at TheJasonSigler.
And I personally am at Idahobo.
Or if you prefer, you can head on over to digitalstrips.com. You can leave us a comment there in the show notes. You can also reach us by email. That email address is digitalstrips@gmail.com. With all that, I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler.
I continue to be Steve the Geek Shinny.
Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you in the fourth panel.